verse 25 to 34. Mark 5, 25 to 34. Again, good to see you this morning. Let me arrange the message if I can. Let me give you a brief background of the story. Some of you folks might be your first time in church, maybe been your whole life, whatever the case may be. Just want to give you a background. I remember I mentioned several times in the past, remember when I first got into church, after I was saved, I always loved hearing the background of a story to kind of put myself in a situation to understand what's going on. It kind of helped to apply it better. So I'm going to give you a background this morning so you know exactly what's going on here in this amazing Word of God that we hold in our hands. In Mark 5, beginning in verse 25 there, we're introduced to a woman. Now, her name is not given. We don't know her name. God decides in His sovereignty not to ever put her name in there. But we're introduced to a woman who has a physical disease. She's hemorrhaging. She has an issue of blood. She is losing blood and has been doing so for the past 12 years. You can speculate what causes physical illness. It might have been something physically traumatic happened to her where she got in an accident which caused something to happen inside her body, something to rupture. Maybe she got hurt somewhere. Maybe she had a baby, and the result of the baby that just the blood never, the situation there never healed up, if you would. Again, we don't know exactly what happened. What we do know is, again, this woman had a regular blood loss for 12 years, and the best doctors, the best medical science of that day could not help her. In verse 26, it says this, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So again, she wasn't getting better. She was, as she aged, for the past 12 years, things were getting worse and worse. Look, you folks know what I'm talking about. You ever have a situation where you have a pain or an ache somewhere, and it's internally, and it makes you wonder, and you're hoping, I pray it goes away, and usually it does sometimes. But when it gets worse, you're like, oh no, what is it? And of course, you know, a lot of us who are doomsdayers think, oh no, I'm going to die tomorrow. One of those things. But you know what I'm saying? But again, the situation, whatever she had, it was getting worse and worse. It was not getting healed on its own. And somehow, some way, she knew that Jesus Christ wasn't too far. He was within close proximity to where she was. Maybe she saw that there was a crowd of people, which there was, that was surrounding Jesus, which caused her to wonder, why is this crowd gathering here so close, and realized it was Jesus Christ. Maybe she heard people yelling, Jesus Christ, please heal me. Or maybe she saw people shouting for joy, yelling, I've been healed, thank you, Jesus. Again, we don't know exactly why or how she knew Jesus Christ was there, but somehow this woman knew Jesus Christ was pretty close. And in verse 27 to 28, I'll read these two verses to you. It says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. This woman, she reaches out and she grabs a part of Jesus Christ's clothing. And the Bible said, listen, my friend, as soon as she grabbed that, she was healed. And instantly, the blood was dried up within her. She was healed. In spite of the fact that there was a multitude of people all around Jesus Christ trying to get near to him as well, he knew somehow, some way, that someone touched him. At the end of verse 30, he asked the question, who touched my clothes? And it's interesting to see the woman's reaction. In verse 33, it says this, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now let me explain this if I can to you. Because here in this verse here, she's scared to death. I mean, she's trembling, the Bible says. She runs to Jesus Christ in tears, I can imagine, falls at his feet on her knees in that dirty ground and tells him exactly what she did. I mean, I'm sorry, Jesus. I have some kind of physical calamity in my body, and I touched you, and as soon as I touched you, I knew you'd heal me, and I was healed. And she was so nervous. Why was she so scared? Without getting too much into detail, this woman was considered unclean because of Old Testament law and her loss of blood, and therefore, according to Old Testament law, Leviticus 15, because she was unclean, she wasn't supposed to touch anyone or be touched by anyone. And so, when Jesus Christ said, who touched my clothes, I could picture her being scared to death. Wait a minute, I shouldn't even touch him. I'm not supposed to touch him. But I need to touch him. I need to be healed. And praise God, in verse 34, Jesus Christ says to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. That's pretty much an overview of the story. But listen, this really happened. Look, this really happened. Jesus Christ, Son of God, He was alive over 2,000 years ago. I'm sorry, almost 2,000 years ago, around that time. And this story, it was not a parable. It was not a make-believe story. There was a real woman who had a real medical condition, and she saw a real Jesus Christ, and as soon as she touched Him, she was healed. Now, I know He's not here today. I understand. Obviously, physically speaking, He's not walking among us, but we know He's here. We know He's alive. We know He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we know Jesus Christ, He can bless, He can protect, He can do miracles, He can save, He can help. We serve an amazing Savior. You know, this morning, I was getting ready, getting my thoughts ready. I was at home there with the kids. They're getting ready to go, and I'm getting myself dressed and ready to go for the day. And of course, just getting my thoughts together. I was finishing up my devotions this morning. And one of my favorite songs was Our Great Savior. I was singing it during my prayer time this morning, just spending time singing it. And I'm going to sing it for you. I probably will break some glass here, but just bear with me. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. Look, I'm not singing that for any personal gratification or glory. But I love that hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. Or saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. Huh? And this morning I want to talk to you for a minute about this Jesus Christ and what He did. And spend a few minutes talking about this story here. Again, listen, this happened. You need to get that in your mind. This really happened. I want to spend some time just showing you a few things to help you if I can this morning. So let me just get right to the message if I can here. Get back to my notes here. If I can. And there we go. And give you a few thoughts if I can this morning to be a blessing to you. I have three thoughts that I believe can help you and be a blessing to all of us this morning. And they're all alliterated. We begin with the letter F. Number one, this woman, she had faith. She had faith. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 28. Mark 5, verse 28 says this. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. Listen, my friend, you notice this woman had been disappointed with doctors who had the past 12 years, and she probably claimed that she probably went to the doctor and said, listen, doctor, I got a problem. I have a physical condition. Doctor said, listen, you pay me enough money, you'll be healed. Take this pill or have this surgery or do this or do that, you'll be healed. But for 12 years, she went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and no one could heal her. She got worse and worse. Because in verse 26 says she spent all that she had. She had no money left. She was completely broke. She spent everything to get healed of this illness she had. She was probably disappointed over and over again. And if I can say it like this, she probably lost faith in the doctors. And by the way, Psalm 118 verse 8 says this. It says, it is better to put to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Don't put your confidence in the things of man. They're going to fail you. But trust the Lord. He will see you through. I promise you. You talk to the senior saint, the one who's been saved for a while, the one who's walked with God, the one who's seen the ups and the downs. I'm not saying the Christian life is easy. I'm not saying it's perfect, but you're never alone in the Christian life, my friend. Before I was saved, I can tell you many times I felt so alone. Many times felt hopeless. It was a horrible feeling, empty feeling. But after I got saved, I'm not saying every day was always the lights weren't always green. Not every day was a perfect day. As a saved Christian, I was never alone. Never leaving nor forsaking. And here we are, this woman, she had put all her confidence, her trust in men and doctors, and no one was helping her. But if you look at verse 28 again, this woman didn't wonder, she didn't question if Jesus Christ could heal her. You don't even sense that all in the verse. Let me read verse 28 to you one more time. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She didn't say, I wonder, maybe possibly Jesus Christ could heal me. I hope he can heal me. She said, I shall be whole. I know for sure, the minute I put my finger on his clothing, I'm going to be healed. She didn't even wonder about it. And you don't sense any wonder or any concern or any worry or doubt in her voice. She said, I shall be whole. She had faith that he would heal her. My friend, listen, it takes faith also to be saved. In order to go to heaven, it takes faith to believe that you are a sinner. It takes faith to believe that you deserve hell for your sins, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can save you from hell and take you to heaven one day. If you're in this room and you are saved, if you are born again, you believe without a shadow of a doubt that you are a sinner, you believe you deserve hell for your sins, and you believe Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you, and you trust him as your personal savior. You got born again, you got saved, and listen, just like the faith that woman had, she said, I know he can heal me. For a person to get saved, you can say, I know he can save me. Look, I hope we all live another 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I hope we live a long life. We know we're not guaranteed tomorrow, none of us are. Some of us in the room, we've lost loved ones, lost people who are gone, who are no longer with us anymore. And you know that death is a part of life. I'm not trying to be morbid or try to be negative here this morning, but to be real with you. If you're in this room, you understand that we don't know when we're going to breathe our last breath, hopefully a long time from now, but are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? You know for sure you're going to heaven. Just like that woman, do you believe that he can save you? Only Jesus, because he's the only one that can, according to the Bible. John 14:6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. Grace Baptist Church, I love this church. This church can't save you. Can't. I can't. I surely can't save you. Becoming a Baptist cannot save you. You know that? It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that you can be saved. That's it. It's not talking about getting baptized. That won't save you. I'm talking about being a good person, but works won't save you. Joining a church won't save you. It's only about asking Jesus Christ to come in your heart. My friend, are you saved? For some of us in this room, that might be our problem. You're not saved in relationship with Jesus Christ, and therefore prayers aren't getting answered. You're not getting help. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation this morning, but are you saved? You got to believe, just like this woman, have faith. We say believe, like she believed, that she can be healed. Believe you can be saved. Let me also say, it takes faith to have your prayers answered. In Mark 11, verse 24, it says this, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Do you pray believing that God can? Do you pray believing? Do you believe that he is able to answer your prayers? This woman believed that Jesus could heal her. And don't miss this, because she believed that her actions dictated it. The lost sinner who believes that Jesus can save them will come to him in repentance and faith. The saved Christian who believes that prayer works will pray believing. I believe that he can if it's according to his will. So this woman, she had faith to believe that Jesus Christ could heal. She was confident of it to the point she went to him and he healed her, knowing that when she touched his garment, she would be healed. So number one, again, this woman had faith. Number two, this woman was focused. She was focused. Look at Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 21 and verse 24. Mark 5, verse 21 and 24, if you would. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. So talk about much people in verse 21. Then verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Those two verses, the common theme in those two verses is simply there was many people there. As soon as he got out of that ship, man, people were gathered all around him. Listen, folks, they already heard about him. They already knew about Jesus Christ. They knew about the miracles he had done. They knew about how he healed people, how he cast demons out of people, how he done amazing things. They heard all about that. They heard how amazing he was and what he could do and the things he did that no one else could do because he was a son of God. And people gathered around him to be healed and be blessed and to be helped everywhere. And again, picture if you would, just picture, if I was Jesus Christ, there'd be a whole bunch of people, like hundreds of people all around me. You can't even get to me if you would. It's just so many people. And it's kind of funny, after this woman touched Jesus Christ, he asked the question, who touched my clothes? And in verse 31, the disciples were scratching their head. They said this, and the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? What they're saying is, Jesus, there's 1,000 people who are grabbing your clothing. Why are you asking who touched me? 1,000 people are touching you. But here's the thing, my friend. They were all around. There was a bunch of people all around Jesus Christ. But other than this woman who had the issue of blood, you don't read of anyone physically reaching out their hand and grabbing Jesus. She is the only person who grabbed him. There were people all around him, but they weren't touching him. And here's the point I'm trying to make to you this morning. Some people really believe they're spiritual by association, meaning, for example, I'm all for doing turkey drives during Thanksgiving. I'm all for that. I'm all for doing decorations for Vacation Bible School. Man, I love doing that. I'm all for doing things that pertain to church and things for God. At yard sales, setting up bounce houses, helping to clean the church. Cleaning the bathroom is not on my top 10 list of things to do with the church, but man, I love doing it. Amen. Comes with a job. My point is, man, it's good. I enjoy doing those things that pertain to church, but listen, some people equate those things that you do with being around God to the things of touching God, meaning I equate those things that people who were around Jesus, who thronged him, who were so close to him, those people who were around God, they were doing good things, if you will. But there was that one lady who was focused on one thing, and that was being with Jesus. Not doing things for him, but being with him. What are you talking about? Oh, I'm reading this. I'm talking about spending time with him. I'm talking about getting in your prayer closet. Look, I mentioned the prayer this morning. I don't know. I have no idea. But there could be some of you this morning who are carrying a heavy burden. Some of you folks, you feel stressed because you're carrying around a burden, maybe an emotional one, maybe something happened in your life recently, whatever the case. You're carrying a burden around. It feels like you're carrying a ton of just a weight behind you, like Jacob Marley. Christmas card. I had to use that Hollywood story, but that's kind of a good illustration. And my friend, some of us, we need to get to our prayer closet. I'm serious. Some of you folks need to go home this morning or after church today, get in your house, get alone, get in your bathroom, get in your closet, get somewhere in your car, somewhere alone with you and God, and just pour your heart out to him. Christian, you have a heavenly Father. If you're saved, you have a heavenly Father who desires to hear your prayer. How many of us actually do that? I read the statistics. I'm not sure where they get them from, if they're accurate, but I read them at the amount and percentage of Christians, people who call them Christians, who actually read their Bible. It's low. Horribly low. I read the statistics of how many Christians actually spend time praying. I'm not talking about praying for the food. Some of us don't even do that. Look, I can go out of the room. We all have things we need God to answer. I can go out of the room and we can write a list of the things we need God to help us with. And we're supposed to bring all requests to him. We understand that. Maybe a physical issue, emotional issue, a financial issue, some type of problem. And sometimes we think, well, if I'm in church, I'm doing fine. If I'm setting up decorations at VBS, I'm doing just fine. I'm doing my part. If I'm in the nursery, if I'm an usher, if I'm a sound man, if I'm counting money, if I'm working in a Sunday school class, I'm doing my part. That is not being with him. Praise God for those people. I need the Sunday school teachers. We need the sound men. We need the ushers. We need the people who do a nursery. But I need you folks to be with him. You've got to. You've got to. All these people around him, hundreds, only one person actually touched him. One person got to him. Talking to God in prayer. Reading your Bible. Spend time with him. Pastor, listen, first of all, if you're born again, you might say, Pastor, I try to read my Bible. It's hard to read. I don't understand it. I understand that. When I first got saved, there are things I didn't understand, but I had a desire to read it. Just take one chapter. Go to John 1, Proverbs 1. Just pick a book. It's all good. And just start reading that one chapter. See what it does for you. Then get alone and pray to him. I'm not talking about praying some type of prayer that you saw in the back of a magazine or a prayer that people pray thousands of times every day. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you talking to God. Prayer where you are spending time in your dialogue and you're talking to him because he is alive. We have to be focused on him, because if we lose our focus, we'll think that doing the other things around him will substitute for being with him. Those things will never substitute for being with him. You've got to spend time. Let me read you a verse here. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 to 23 says this: Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. Listen to this. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. See, people say, Lord, we have done so many amazing things for you. Man, we tiled the roof at the church. Man, we helped to repave the parking lot. God, man, we were every service, we were in the nursery taking care of horrible diapers that should be thrown into some type of horrible pit. We've done the nursery. We've been in the Sunday school class and got there early and pulled our hair out dealing with the kids. We've been in the adult class pulling our hair out dealing with the adults. I'm just kidding. Lord, we've done so many wonderful things. In verse 23, he says this: And then will I, Jesus Christ, profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The good works will never, ever give you salvation. The good works will never substitute for being with him. You've got to spend time with him, friend. You've got to. You have got to. It is imperative that you do that. Number one, this woman had faith. Number two, just like this woman, we need to be focused on being with Jesus, not just around Jesus. Number three, last one I'm done this morning. I'll finish with this. I keep with alliteration, keep the letter F's. She had faith. She was focused. Number three, this woman was fixed, or she was determined. Look at Matthew 5:24 one more time, if you would. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Again, looking at this verse again, these people thronged around Jesus Christ. And again, I kind of painted the picture earlier for you, but let me paint it one more time if I can. It would have been difficult for anyone to get to Jesus, because people were all around him in every direction. If you were Jesus, you looked around, everywhere you looked, there was people. There was never a spot. There was no open area. You ever go to an event with a lot of people there, maybe a ball game or some type of big event where there's a lot of people and it's so crowded, you can't even find an opening or a hole to where you want to get through the crowd. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of picture that, if you would. And that's what it was like with this woman getting to Jesus Christ. It was so difficult to find a spot to Jesus because people were everywhere. But listen, she was fixed, or she was determined not to give up until she got to Jesus Christ. My friend, listen, we're living in a day and age where people quit easy on God. They get distracted with other things. I'm not against having fun. I appreciate having fun. We were blessed to go out to Mississippi, spend some time down there. Man, joy. We were able to go to the USS Alabama. We were able to tour that wonderful battleship. We saw a submarine. Went down. We saw the Blue Angels fly. Man, I love our country. And just seeing those Blue Angels doing those crazy somersault tricks in the air with their planes. Man, we were blessed to go on the Gulf of Mexico, be on the sand there for a little while and spend time. And of course, I teased my kids. There were sharks in the water. They didn't stay in too long. Amen. a little sunny slam by there. Amen. But listen, hey, I enjoy having fun just like you enjoy it. I mean, I praise God you can go out and spend time in nature and maybe get in a boat or get in a car or do things. Man, I'm all for you. But those things can distract you from what's the most important thing. Spending time with him. getting close to Him, being faithful in the house of God. And people, if we're not careful, when we get offended at someone, something, and we quit on church, quit our devotions, and quit on the Christian life as a whole, maybe one thing happens and we just turn, our whole mindset turns off to the things of God. Man, I'm not doing this church thing anymore. The illustration. A few years ago, I was out door knocking. I think I probably gave this illustration before, I'm sure. Out door knocking, and I came across a man, and I was talking to him, and I asked him if he was saved. He said he had trusted Christ as Savior, went through the plan of salvation. He gave a pretty clear plan of salvation to me. When I first started the conversation, I asked him, are you go to church anymore? He said, no. So after I went through the plan of salvation and he said he was saved, I said, sir, man, you're born again. Why aren't you in church anywhere? Don't you realize the importance of church? And man, I'll tell you what happened. Man, I went to church and these people, they made me mad, offended me. I'm done with church. Just angry. Now, let me ask you a question. I said, do you drink coffee? He kind of looked at me kind of funny. I said, but it happens often. I said, do you drink coffee? He said, yeah, what kind of drink? He said, Dunkin' Donuts. I said, man, good choice. You're a godly man. He said, I drink Dunkin' Donuts. I said, okay. I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been to a Dunkin' Donuts where they ever give you a bad cup of coffee? Yeah, sure. Maybe they put it on the burner too long, or they did something to it that wasn't right, or whatever, or too much water, or not enough, whatever the case. It was just a bad cup of coffee. Like, ugh, this is nasty. I said, yeah, I have. I said, did you stop drinking Dunkin' Donuts altogether? He said, no. It was one bad cup. The light bulb went on. I said, sir, you're telling me you're going to quit everything of God. Your devotions, your walk with God, you're making your family can suffer, your children can suffer because you set a bad example for them. You can lose all of it because something happens and you get offended over one situation or maybe a couple situations. But overall, you're going to miss all the blessings of God because of that. He looked at me. He didn't say much. He turned around and said, goodbye, have a good day. And he walked back. I knew the conviction. And that's why the end of Proverbs 20, verse 6 says this, a faithful man who can find. This woman was fixed. I don't care. I don't care who people, I don't care who steps on my toes. I'm trying to get to Jesus Christ. I don't care how big the people are. I might be a frail woman. I'm sick. I have this issue. I'm probably weak because of an issue of blood loss. I probably could barely make it. I don't care how many people are. I don't care how I have to spend hours trying to push through the sea of people to get through the crowd. I don't care how much it hurts. I don't care if people yell at me. They make fun of me. So get out of the way, lady. I don't care what they say. I'm going to get to Jesus. Determined. One thing I pray for my kids, other than the fact they get a brain, which would be helpful, and I pray for my children. I said, Lord, would make my kids get to the place, obviously they're saved, they trusted Christ, I'm thankful for that. Get to the place where they get a determination deep down their heart. I'm going to serve God. You listen, my kids have a free will like all of us have a free will. Now, so do your children have a free will. We all, every single church, have a free will. We can determine if we want to still serve God or not. I know when they turn 18 years old, they're on their own, they're out of the house. Eventually they make their own decisions. They're on their dad's roof anymore. They're inside what they're going to do. Oh God, let them have a fixed heart, determined, I'm just going to serve God. I don't care how much I'm offended. I don't care who people says what to me or makes fun of me. I'm going to be in the house of God because I need it. You know what helps me? I'm nothing special. My friend, what helps me so much is to know He saved me. Jesus Christ, because of Him, I'm not going to ever see hell. Because of Him, going to heaven one day. Because of Him, I'll see my loved ones up there one day. Praise God for that. And because of that, my heart is fixed. I serve one person. His name is Jesus Christ. I love you folks, and I appreciate all the wonderful things you do for me. But with all due respect, I don't do this for you. That makes sense to you. I love serving you. I love it. I do it for Him. Which makes life a little bit easier for me, so people go crazy on you. Which happens every now and then. Still focuses on Him. Determined that we're not going to quit on the things of God. We're just going to stay close to Him. No matter how hard and busy life gets, no matter how often it seems like there are things in the way of getting to Him, we're not going to quit. Listen, I'm done this morning. I'm finishing up here. I'm wrapping up the message. My friend, listen, here's a woman, sickly woman, 12 years. She comes to Jesus Christ, knowing He could heal her, knowing for sure. She had faith to believe. She knew it, and by the way, He healed her. Are you saved? If you're saved, you have faith to believe He can save me, and you trust in your Savior. In this room, you're not saved. You need to get saved. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm asking, are you born again? Because God forbid, we can get in the parking lot and drive home and a car could hit us and we could be dead. Or are you going to wake up? That's the truth. That is the truth. Take faith to believe that Jesus Christ can save, and faith that He can answer prayers. We also have to have, we have to stay focused on Jesus and being with Him, and not substitute the things that we do for Him for the things that are with Him. We need to spend time with Jesus Christ in that Bible, in prayer. They walk with Him, talk with Him every day. We have to be fixed, be determined, not to let life keep us from quitting on God and getting offended. Just stay faithful to Him, determined. I'm not going to quit. I don't care how hard it gets. My allegiance is to Him. Some of you in this room, figuratively speaking, you have an issue of blood, meaning that you don't have a physical illness, but you have some kind of condition, some spiritually, where you're struggling. Things have happened maybe this week, this month, at the hospital, maybe in your life, whatever, relationship issues, financial issues, and you have a struggle. Again, figuratively speaking, you have an issue of blood. You have a condition where you need God to help you, spiritually speaking. Do you believe He can? Do you believe that? Because this woman did. She believed, as long as I touch Him, I'll be fine. You believe that? Are you willing to stay focused on Him? To spend time with Him? If you believe He can help you, you're going to want to spend time with Him. Not doing things for Him, but with Him. I'm all for doing things for Him, but spend time with Him. And is your heart fixed? Are you determined? No matter what happens, I'm just going to be faithful to Him until He takes me home. Because He saved my soul. He died on the cross for my sins. Because of Him going to heaven, I'm going to give Him my loyalty. At least I can. Amazing story about a simple woman and how her point of view can really help affect ours. Because she wasn't just right next to Jesus, she was with Jesus. Let me ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. As is my custom here, I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't call you out. I'm not. Yeah.
But if you're in this room and with heads bowed and eyes closed, with no one looking around, all I want is your honesty this morning. If you're in this room and say, Pastor Munkowski,
if I die today, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. There is no doubt in my mind. I have the complete confidence and faith I'm going to heaven, because there's a time and a place when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I knew I was a sinner. I deserved hell for my sins, and I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart as my Savior. If you're in this room, no one looking around, I'm not going to call you, I'll embarrass you. But if you're in this room and that's your testimony, you're saved, would you raise your hand? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Put your hands down. God bless you. That's a blessing, my friend. You know where you're going. It's all because of Him, not because of church. It's all because of Jesus. Maybe you're in this room and you're saved but never been scripturally baptized by immersion. Baptism will never save you, will never take you to heaven. All baptism is nothing but a picture of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, His death, and His burial, then His resurrection. As the first step of obedience, He asks for every Christian. If you're in this room, you've been saved, but not baptized, we can turn the water on, get you baptized here this Wednesday, next Sunday even. Hey, Pastor, I'm saved, but not baptized. Anybody down this room, raise your hand if you would. Thank you all this morning. I see one hand. Anybody else? All right. Maybe you've been saved and scripturally baptized, and you're thinking about joining Grace Baptist Church, if you believe that's God's will for your life, then come talk to me. I sit down with you, see that's God's will for you to join this church. I'd love to have you join if that's His will for your life. Well, let me ask you, friend, my final question before the music begins. And I ask you this final question. Regarding this woman, she wasn't just right next to him, but she was with him. How much time do you spend with him? Do you spend time with him? Are you in that book, that Bible? Do you spend time in prayer with him? Are you determined, I'm not going to let the things of this world mess up? Stay focused on him. You're not going to get offended to the point you're going to leave those things. Folks, we need him. We need him. When the music plays, I encourage you, come use the altar. Spend time with him if you would. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for this dear service you've given us. I pray you bless the invitation. Be with God's people. Bless those who are need to use the altar. I pray they come forward and use the altar this morning and spend time with you. If there are any that are not saved, I pray they come and come forward and make that decision this morning. I pray you bless the invitation. Be with us this morning. We love you and thank you. Now, all we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen. Would you all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. As the music begins to play, if God spoke to your heart, you can come use the altar.